don't just exist, live. Live on AWR SID Media.
All right, time for us now to get into our Ask a Pastor. Remember, we swapped them around. What we usually do now is chew on that, but we are trying to get the benefit of both our ministers. And now we have on the line Pastor Richard Mwapi. Mfundis, can you hear me?
I can, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, Mfundis. I'm well. How are you? Can you hear me, Pastor Mwapi?
I can get you very much. Can you get me?
I can now. Okay. All right. So our question for today, Mfundis, is how does Christianity view the concept of forgiveness, especially in the cases of severe wrongdoing? And I want to make it very clear that severe wrongdoing goes beyond just somebody slapping you or saying you're ugly. It's when somebody rapes you, for example, or kills your loved one, or chops off your limb permanently, or disfigures your reputation such that you lose your job or your marriage, for example. So when we're saying severe, it's something that has permanent consequences. Hence the question, how does Christianity view the concept of forgiveness, especially in cases of severe wrongdoing? Your response, Mfundis.
All right. Thank you so much. Actually, the subject of forgiveness, actually, in my ministry, I have learned that it is actually one of the most difficult subjects because most of the time it borders or hinders around our emotions, around our feelings, around who we are. Yeah, so in answering this question, I went to God and I just tried to understand not forgiveness from God but love from God. And what I have discovered, it is that actually forgiveness, it is not forgetting what someone has done for you,
right,
but forgiveness actually forgetting who you are.
I'm not sure I understand. Kindly clarify, Mfundis.
All right. When I mean forgetting who you are, if you use the aspect or the perspective of God, it is not really doing away with yourself, but choosing to pardon me for my wrongs despite you having your own standards. So in the cases of severe wrongdoing, forgiveness, in terms of how Christians perceive it, it is allowing God to have his course of justice despite you being hurt by the person that has hurt you. Not right. Really that you're not hurt, but choosing to forget the pain that one has made you to experience and giving God the freedom to display his ultimate power of justice.
I'm not quite sure I understand still, Mfundis. It sounds like a beautiful language that is too complicated for my simple mind. Kindly simplify it a bit further, Mfundis.
All right, thank you. So, let me use a psalm. I think it should be Psalm 103, verse 10, it is in Psalm 103. I might have forgotten the actual verse where the psalmist there says, the love of God, it is big. It is like from the east to the west. So when we talk of forgiveness, in a nutshell, it is if I have been hurt, let me say someone has raped me, I am abused. And in the perspective of a Christian, it is that we should forgive as much as we can. That is God's call. When Jesus is here, he says, love your enemies. He does not call us to love people that love us, but he calls us to love people that hate us. That is a scenario of forgiveness. So what Christians perceive when they are talking of forgiveness, it is not that your pain will not be felt by people that have put you through things. But forgiveness, it is setting yourself free from the pain that people have made you to experience. Forgiveness, when I forgive, it is like I am taking off a burden that someone has put on my head off my head.
How does God forgive, Mfunis? Because it appears as though this forgiveness that is expected of Christians is slightly and decidedly dissimilar from that forgiveness that God employs. And I say this because we know God's forgiveness ends in hell. People, though he is able to forgive, there are people who will end in hell. So should we construe that to mean, though we have forgiven people and have the capacity to forgive like God forgives, there are people that should be relegated to a proverbial hell?
Sorry, come again. I'm trying to understand the question.
If we accept that Jesus, God, Yahweh, Elohim, whatever name you want to attribute to this Almighty God, if we accept that this Almighty God, in his forgiveness, has a percentage of his created image that is going to end up in hell, in spite of him being a forgiving God, are we ready to accept as Christians that we too, like the God we worship, must have a percentage of people who, though we are forgiving like God, who we will relegate to a hell, a proverbial hell. We will have nothing to do with them. We will have no relationships with them whatsoever.
Yeah, actually, you know, in my preamble, I said the topic or the discussion of forgiveness, I have actually discovered that it is one of the most difficult or hard subjects to discuss. It is because of that very same concept that you have brought about. Because I was having a discussion with my wife concerning forgiveness. And what my wife was telling me is that, you know, you can forgive, I can forgive you, but there are certain privileges that my forgiveness will not bring back to you.
Right.
Yeah, so I think if I heard you well, that is basically what you are saying.
That's
but if I'm being honest in terms of a biblist view of forgiveness, what God wants for us, it is... Okay, maybe let me use the wife, because I mentioned my wife as an example. I'm coming back to your question. I use my wife as an example. Let me say my wife has hurt me. My wife has hurt me. And then I say, I have forgiven you. Regardless of how much hurt I am, if I choose to forgive my wife, it means my wife will still remain my wife.
Let me give you an example of your wife for hurting you, Mfundisi. You and your wife raise a child, and on his 18th birthday, you discover that the child you have been raising for 18 years belongs to the elder at church. And yet she has, for 18 years, ridiculing you for being a failure of a father who can't even raise his only son. And yet this son is not yours. She goes around posting on Facebook that you are a cheap and a useless father who can't pay school fees. And yet this child is not yours. But she makes you believe this is your child and castigates you. And now I'm asking for this. How does forgiveness work there? Do you continue raising this child? Do you continue loving your wife? What? How does this work? How does forgiveness work in that instance?
Yeah. That's the reason why I said forgiveness is self-forgetfulness. It is because of that same aspect. Let's say God had all the reasons not to take me in. God had all the reasons not to die for me. He had all the reasons to destroy me. But what does he do? He forgets himself for my sake. I know it sounds more theoretical than it is, because in a practical sense, it is a very, very hard thing to do. But the moment you learn to release people that have hurt you, it is the moment that you begin to enjoy the freedom that God has for you. So let's say a proverbial hell, or let's use the very example of course, God forgives us, he gives us a son, but there are still certain people that will not be recipients of his maximum grace What is the reason? The reason it is not because God is not a forgiving God, or he holds a certain amount of anger for somebody. But it is because of the stubbornness that the people that he desires to forgive have in preventing him from coming into their life. Let me use maybe another example from the Lord's Prayer, where when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he says, teach us to do what? To forgive others. While you do what? While you forgive us. So meaning, if we are being basic, what determines God's forgiveness for us? It is the ability for us to release others from the pain that they have put us through.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm waiting for something from you.
Say that again, please.
I'm saying I am waiting for something from you.
No, please. I'm trying to take it in. I'm trying to take it in because while we insist on it being to our benefit, I don't know how in practice it benefits the forgiver. I do understand the principle that you're bringing. I just need you to just deconstruct it and analyze it, put it bare for me to understand how, where's the benefit in seeing injustice for to the one who has been offended and hurt. There appears to be no justice. When you're going to forgive somebody and not treat this person the way justice would demand, that effectively takes away justice. That person is no longer getting what he deserves. So help me, is that what forgiveness is? Is forgiveness injustice?
That's why you said I was waiting for something from you. You are quite heavy. So forgiveness is not really injustice. From one viewpoint, it will seem as though forgiveness, it is ignoring, or let me not say ignoring, it is like preventing justice from taking its course. But in actual sense, forgiveness, it is giving God the freedom to do whatever he wants with people that have offended us. When I say this for our justice, let me give this example. Growing up, there is a song that some group used to sing. They would say, in the song, they would say, I will, if I can remember the lyrics well, they would say, I will sit on the welcome table. They would picture heaven, and they would say in their song, they would sing, in heaven, when we are redeemed, I will sit on the welcome table with God and with all the redeemed. So when I was looking at this subject and I thought of that song, I remembered, let's imagine you've hurt me or I have hurt you. I don't like you. Every time I see you, or every time you see me, you get disgusted. Your heart hurts. And then when God comes and we are on that welcome table to celebrate our victorious life, and then I am just seated right opposite you in that welcome table, do you think heaven will be good for you? Or do you think the presence of God will be good for you? Or I can use another example. When David says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Is it a table of David showing off what God has done for him? Or it is some other kind of a table that God prepares for David in the presence of his enemies? So when you look deeper in the text, especially if I am using Psalm chapter 23, it should be verse 6 or verse number 5, you will realize that actually the table that David is talking about, it is a table of reconciliation. Because there can never be jubilation if there is no reconciliation. There can never be restoration if there is never reconciliation. So in as much as it may be difficult to do, what God desires for us, it is for us to release people that have hurt us and just show them how free you are to set them free. You are no longer bound by the things that they have done for you, but you are bound by the things that God projects for you.
Okay, so what was your answer about the justice part of this?
Yeah, so justice belongs to God.
Let me read the text message that we have received from a listener who says, good afternoon, Naye. A portion of creation will end up in hell, not because the forgiveness is not holistic. The problem is not with the forgiveness, but the unwillingness of the offender to receive the gift of forgiveness. Even the first rebel is forgiven. The impossibility lies in him accepting that gift. The forgiver benefits by virtue of not carrying around a bag of rotten potatoes. Let me see if I can see a name there. Umametsi Lindzwi writes that text message. Thank you very much, Umametsi. Do you want to respond to Umametsi Mfundisi?
Yeah, I think maybe it's he or she, because I don't know if it's a lady or it's a man.
I think it's a gentleman.
I think the gentleman is spoken my point. I might have mentioned it passively, but that's my standpoint on forgiveness, especially when we talk about how God forgives, but there are still certain people that will not end up where God wants them to be. Right. I think that's I subscribe to that theology.
Yeah, I subscribe to the Levitical theology, Mfundisi, that says an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
you know that's good. That's good. But you know, when Jesus comes, he looks at that, and you know what? And you know what he says?
Right.
He says, "Love those that do what? That hurt you." When Jesus is talking about, and I mean, when Jesus is talking about how you should love those that hurt you, how you should love your enemies,
right,
he actually got that text in his mind that says an eye for an eye.
Right.
So when he comes, he gives us the, I've forgotten what we call it in theology. I've forgotten, but he gives us his view now that says, actually, what will set you free, it is not having the vengeance. Because even if you have got vengeance, if you have not set yourself free from the pain that people have put you through, you can get me killed, you can get me punished, you can save the justice for yourself that you want. But if you don't set yourself free from the things that people have put you through, whatsoever justice that you receive or you save yourself, you will never really be free.
So Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17 up until 22 reads as follows. And I believe this is what Jesus was referring to. Jesus quotes this, and I believe so, from verse 17. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17 reads, "Whoever takes a human life shall surely be put to death." Huh? Verse 18, "Whoever takes an animal's life shall make it good, life for life." Verse 19, "If anyone injures his neighbor, as he has done, it shall be done to him." Fracture for fracture. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Whatever injury he has given a person shall be given to him. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good. And whoever kills a person shall be put to death. You shall have the same rule for the sojourner and for the native, for I am the Lord your God.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunately, it's reminding me of Cain. How do you perceive God? A God that allows a seemingly righteous Abel to be killed by a jealous Cain,
right,
without him protecting Abel, who is being killed because of God, yet putting a mark of protection on Cain,
right,
who has shed blood.
So how did Cain die? Is Cain still alive?
No, definitely, the justice for Cain is not saved by Abel or anybody, but by God.
Now, what I'm asking, Funis, is the when we follow that narrative, we always overlook the fact that though he was protected, it was not a permanent protection.
No, definitely, but what God does when he's protecting Cain, he says, whoever, let's use Leviticus,
right,
whoever kills Cain,
right,
what will be the gift to whoever kills Cain?
I don't remember what it says.
Whoever kills Cain will receive it. I think it should be seven or a number of times. Ford, tenfold or so ford. If you kill Cain, you receive the punishment of Cain tenfold.
Right.
Or something. I might have forgotten the actual number.
Okay.
What God is trying to imply there, it is that it is the Lord that saves justice.
Right.
I am trying to imagine if Abel came back to life, God probably would have said, you're not doing anything to Cain, but I will handle him myself.
Yeah. But the Bible doesn't really tell us how Cain died, Mfunis, which is my argument that perhaps we may be looking at God who says, no, you will not die for 2 weeks, you won't die, but after that, somebody's going to strike you down. Granted, there is tradition, Christian tradition, not text, tradition that suggests that Lamech is the one who killed his great-grandfather Cain, mistaking him for a wild animal. I don't know where people get that tradition, but there is that rumor. But the bottom line is, Cain, in spite of the mark of protection, he did die. There was justice that was inflicted on him.
Definitely. Actually, even in Genesis itself, it is implied that Cain is going to die.
Yes.
By implication in the text.
Right.
The text implies that Cain is going to die. Eventually,
right.
Cain is going to die. Forgiveness does not rob God of justice.
Oh. Okay.
Forgiveness does not rob God for saving justice. He forgives, but justice will still take its costs.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's look at David, for example.
Yes, I like that example. So yes, go ahead, please.
David is forgiven, but he still reaps the consequences of his action,
right.
Justice.
Hmm.
Yeah, so for me, that's my viewpoint. When I'm, of course, I don't overlook the fact that it is hard. And sometimes it seems more theoretical than it is in the practical sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But God's ideal viewpoint of forgiveness, it is that however severe it is, forgive.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it is by the same measure.
Right.
It is by the same measure.
All right.
That we use for us, that's the same measure that God will use for us.
Yeah. I hear you, Mfundis. Thank you very much for your time, your insights, and your patience. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Ngosi Mfundis. All right. That's how we end our Ask a Pastor segment for today.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.